This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Trying to go to Australia, but we're evidently having issues, which is par for the course, that that even when our crew is not in the studio, that we would have issues trying to contact them.
Well, we're not having issues. Eddie is.
Why can't we call him?
He says, I'm trying. Have had a lot of trouble this morning. Had trouble calling into Ben. Had to use my wife's phone. So not sure what the issue is. I called his phone and got his voicemail.
So we called him fine.
Yeah, we called him fine.
So he has put up videos of snakes and crocodiles while he's been down under?
Oh, yeah. He's put up a ton of videos on social media and pictures, and he tried to scare you with a little snake video.
Yeah.
Looks like he's been having a lot of fun there.
Well, it's good because, you know, it's the middle of football season, and I love when people on the show just take 2 weeks vacation in the middle of football season. I, by the way, am flying out to L.A. on Sunday. And in addition to the fact that I'm not, if I haven't been doing enough work already.
Were you on enough programs yesterday?
I did do a lot of television. I mean, what did you think? How'd I do on Tucker Carlson?
Not bad. Pretty good. I mean, there were some guys who followed you who were probably jealous at your headlining spot there.
I thought that was pretty interesting. They put me on before Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri. I mean, I was on right out of the jump with Tucker. And on Friday, I did Laura Ingraham, this show on Fox News. People say, like, you know, those shows are the most – they do 3 million people watch Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham every night. In terms of cable audiences, those are off-the-charts size shows. I mean, to kind of put into perspective how many people watch those shows, that's more people than oftentimes watch, you know, like big sporting events. If you're going to watch, for instance, I think Ohio State is on Friday night, right? Isn't Ohio State on Friday night against Northwestern? That's a pretty good game. Like 4 million people probably will watch Ohio State on Friday night. So almost as many people watch a random weeknight show on Fox News as watch a big college football game featuring a big brand like Ohio State. I mean, that kind of puts into perspective how big those audiences are. So that was pretty cool. And then I was on with Petros in the afternoon.
I was just going to say, here I am driving to Ralph's supermarket to grab some groceries, and your voice is on AM 570. I get home, and my TV had been on FS1 for the baseball game, and it shows a little preview box of each channel. So as I go to the next channel, your face is on the Fox News preview. So went from hearing you on LA radio to seeing your face on Fox News back to back.
Yeah, kind of everywhere. Well, since we don't know what's the situation, whether Eddie's going to be able to join us from Australia or not, should I go ahead here? And I was thinking we'd do top five, bottom five in the NFL. Should I go ahead and give you my top five teams and we'll do bottom five to start off hour two?
That sounds good.
That makes sense. Do you want to hit? And if Eddie comes on, we'll just update. We'll cut short the top five, bottom five. But I feel pretty good about my top five at this point, and it's very heavy in the NFC. The best team in the NFL right now is in the AFC as we give the top five. You're not familiar with this on the Outkick. We do top five, bottom five in the NFL every single Tuesday or Wednesday, kind of depending on how many different storylines are out there. And right now I have got the Patriots as the best team in the NFL. They are 6-0. They had a long weekend off. They now play, if I'm not mistaken, the Cleveland Browns, right? So the Browns go on the road against the Patriots. The Patriots probably going to move to 7-0. The Browns are desperate, probably going to fall to 2-5. But I have the New England Patriots, who are opening up a pretty substantial gap between them and the rest of the AFC, as the number one team. Second place, after the dominant performance they put up on the road in the wake of a big Monday night win as well, I got the San Francisco 49ers surging to number two overall in my top five in the NFL. I have been blown away by how well they have played and how dominant, frankly, they have been to start off this season. All Jimmy Garoppolo does is win. The 49ers sliding in at my number two spot in the three spot. Look, Teddy Bridgewater stepped into a 1-1 team with the New Orleans Saints. With Drew Brees out, everybody was incredibly nervous down in New Orleans. Saints fans around the world, certainly. And I said world because Saints fans maintain that loyalty to New Orleans no matter where they are. Saints fans were incredibly nervous. And what has Teddy Bridgewater done? Stepped in, relied on that defense, not made big mistakes, and won four straight to run the Saints record to 5-1 and put them into contention once more to have home field in the playoffs. Saints I have as the third best team in the NFL. Underrated and maybe the guy who should be the favorite to win the NFL MVP right now. How about Russell Wilson? Seahawks went on the road and won against the Browns. Their only loss so far this year was against the Saints. I have got the Seahawks sitting at 5-1 as my fourth best overall team. And then sliding in at the five spot, how about the Green Bay Packers as the fifth best team in the NFL? I know they needed some breaks to get that that win, that fifth of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles. But I have got the Packers sliding in as the fifth best team on the year. So that would be my five. Patriots 1, 49ers 2, Saints 3, Seahawks 4, and the Green Bay Packers 5. That's my top five. Danny G, what say you?
Twisted minds think alike. I have the same five and the Bills on the outside looking in at number 6.
Yeah, I think the Bills are just outside. They're looking in. I've also got the Texans just outside looking in, who I think are making a strong case. The team that is not there, that obviously was pretty highly rated coming into week 4 at least, I've dropped the Chiefs all the way outside my top five. And honestly, I have the Chiefs behind the Bills and behind the Texans. The Texans actually are my number 6 team. I was close to putting them in there. Love what Deshaun Watson is doing. And so that is how I would rank the top five.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Appreciate all you hanging out with us and spending your Wednesday morning with us. Hour one, obviously several big stories we have unpacked and discussed so far on the show. Jalen Ramsey to the Rams, who won that trade. I'm inclined to think the Jags did a little bit because I don't believe that the Rams are actually going to be as good of a team as they anticipate over the next couple of years, which means those picks could end up being pretty decent. Marcus Mariota benched by the Titans. I think that he is just the fall guy for an offense that has been so awful. I don't think that Ryan Tannehill is going to have any more success, and I think he may get sacked even more than Marcus Mariota did. We'll see exactly what happens there as we continue to track that story. The other major story I would say that is out there is the Washington Nationals advancing to their first World Series as a member of the Major League Baseball postseason that had never been able to win, and then suddenly everything comes together perfectly. They sweep the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals, interesting stat, score 10 runs in the top of the first against the Atlanta Braves, advance to the NLCS, and only score 6 runs total in 36 innings against the Washington Nationals, who effectively dominated this series and got the sweep. They await the winner of the Houston Astros-New York Yankees series, where the Astros went on the road and took a commanding 2-1 series lead behind Gerrit Cole's dominance last night. That is all of the stories that are out there in the universe of sports if you are just waking up. On Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how storylines are going, we give you the top five, bottom five of the NFL through 6 weeks. I just ran through my top 6 teams in the NFL right now. The Patriots, the 49ers, the Saints, the Seahawks, and the Packers are my top five. We talked about that with Danny G. Let me bring in the rest of the crew. Dub, any disagreement with you, or would you have any other teams different in your top five?
Yeah, I actually don't have the Seahawks in my top five. I don't really buy into them quite yet. They're 5-1, yes, but they've had a lot of close games. 1-point win, 2-point win, 1-point win, and last week barely got past the Browns. I actually have the Panthers in the five spot for me.
Oh, interesting.
They're 6th in the NFL in scoring. Kyle Allen, he hasn't thrown an interception yet this season. We all know about Christian McCaffrey and their defense. They lead the league in sacks, and they're 2nd in turnovers. So I'm rolling with the Panthers.
So what would you do? You went to Auburn, so obviously you have a lot of affinity for Cam Newton. You are in the decision chair for the Carolina Panthers. Reports are that Cam may be well coming out of the bye week and be saying, hey, effectively, I'm back and ready to roll. But Kyle Allen has won 4 straight since he replaced Cam Newton, who had lost 2 in a row to start the season. As if that were not bad enough, when you actually break down the Cam Newton performance even more substantially, he lost 8 in a row prior to his decision to bench himself with an injury. How do you handle this?
Well, look, I don't think going to San Francisco, which is their next game off their bye, I don't think that's a great spot to put Cam back in there, considering, yes, he has lost his last 8 starts, and Kyle Allen has won his last 4. To me, I don't see how you put Cam Newton back on the roster over Kyle Allen the way he's been playing and the way this offense has been scoring. So, to me, I think it's a pretty easy decision, and I saw reports yesterday there were at least 10 teams that would be interested in a trade for Cam Newton. So, if I'm the Panthers and I get I don't know if it would be a Jalen Ramsey type deal, but if you get a solid deal, you'd have to strongly consider taking it and moving on from Cam.
So you agree with me that there's a possibility Cam could be moved before the NBA trade deadline this year?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty decent possibility, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's the move if I'm the Panthers. I'm not saying that Kyle Allen is your guy long term, but I think at this point you have to know Cam is not your guy long term. And if that is the case, why not go ahead and explore the trade market? And that way you can solve what would otherwise be kind of an intractable dilemma, which is Cam Newton standing on the sideline, making the salary that he's making, being unhappy to be benched for another guy. I think that's a intriguing position. Brian Finley, any different teams in your top 5 in the NFL?
I love the Seahawks, Clay, and I know they're underrated, and I know a lot of people aren't respecting them right now, but the play of Russell Wilson, man, I don't think that can go understated right now, and I think they're just scratching the surface. They have a long way to go, but I really like what I'm seeing from them.
So you have the same top 5 otherwise as me and people out there. Patriots, 49ers, Saints, Seahawks, Packers, my top 5.
Yeah, I would agree with you for the most part on all those other teams, yeah.
All right, what about you, Roberto? Any differences?
I was going to put the Vikings there instead of the Seahawks, but I need to see more of what Kirk Cousins did last Sunday. I need to see more of that in order to put the Vikings in there. It was a impressive victory over the Eagles, but I need to see more of that by Kirk Cousins.
All right, this is actually kind of difficult to figure out exactly who to put in as the 28th worst team in the NFL. So that was the top 5. The bottom 5 in the NFL, the bottom part of the bottom 5, not particularly difficult. I've got the Dolphins as the worst team in the NFL. That seems to have been their goal from the get-go, to tank for Tua. They managed to lose to the Redskins. But I've got the Bengals as the 31st worst team in the NFL. The only two teams that remain winless, the Bengals and the Dolphins at 31 and 32. Then I've got the Redskins, which finally went on the road and got a win, even if it was kind of an ugly win. Then I've got the Falcons, who it feels like Dan Quinn is close to being the next head coach fired in the NFL. So the bottom 4 I think are relatively easy. Dolphins, Bengals, Redskins, and the Falcons. The 5th worst team in the NFL is a real battle, and I've got a bunch of nominees here, and I haven't quite figured out who I think is the 5th worst team. All right, so you got the Titans that I think are honestly in the running. The argument in favor of the Titans being one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL would be predicated on the fact that in the last 4 weeks they have scored 7, 7, and 0 on offense. The problem is their defense is actually pretty good, which is why I'm kind of sitting around. They benched Mariota now because the offense has been so bad. I think you can make an argument for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the problem is the Bucs have been good enough to be competitive against decent teams. They went on the road and scored a lot of points against the Rams. And yes, granted, Jameis Winston just turned the ball over 6 times and the Carolina Panthers whipped them, but they beat the Panthers earlier this year. So ultimately, I'm circling around and deciding that the 28th, the worst, the 5th worst team in the NFL, I have decided is the Cleveland Browns. Now, I know that the Browns have been good enough to go on the road and beat the Ravens, but ultimately they lost by 30 to the Titans. Baker Mayfield is the worst quarterback in the NFL by pretty much every statistical measure. They're likely to fall to 2-5 against the Patriots this weekend. Again, they lost to the Titans head-to-head. The Bucs, yes, are bad, but I actually think the Browns are the 5th worst team in the NFL. Danny G, how would you assess my bottom 5? Browns, Falcons, Redskins, Bengals, and Dolphins.
I have the same bottom 4, Falcons, Redskins, Bengals, Dolphins. But it's funny you were talking about question marks at 28, because on my sheet when I was doing my homework last night, I wrote Chargers/Titans with 3 question marks, because I feel like they're kind of tied, because both teams had really big expectations coming into the season, especially with Andrew Luck retiring. We thought the Titans could grab that division. The Chargers, we've heard now for how many seasons in a row that they have the best roster in all of football.
All the time.
But it's just not turning out that way. And I'm going to say Chargers and Titans are tied for the 28th spot right now.
And they play each other.
Yeah, they play each other this weekend. Go ahead and make that sure that that's a part of your calendar. You don't want to miss that that battle. That's interesting. But you don't even put the Browns in the mix.
Well, I would have the Browns at 27.
Because remember, the Browns have two wins.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a good win over the Ravens. But their other win, to me, almost doesn't count because they got to play against Trevor Siemian, who got knocked out of the game, and then Luke Falk. So the Jets without Sam Darnold are so bad that that I think it's a totally different team. And so I think the Browns have to be in the running there.
I hear you on that, but I wasn't buying all the preseason hype. Yeah, Marcus Mariota and Winston, we were talking about both of them the other morning.
Yeah.
And you could make an argument that both of them might be done as far as franchise quarterbacks when this season wraps up. But I think I wasn't, as far as Baker Mayfield, I wasn't buying the hype on their chemistry coming together right away for this season. You remember all the talk about, oh, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. That's a Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
And we talked about that a lot during the preseason. I don't think
they
any of us
were favored to win the AFC North.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us on this show were buying that at the time. We're like, no, we have to see that work on the field first. So my expectations were a lot higher for both the Chargers and the Titans going into the season.
Oh, you might have had high
expectations
for their
divisions.
For the Titans because of me, but the Titans were the worst favorite, to be fair to Vegas, to win their division coming into the season.
I mean, with Derrick Henry and the way last season.
Look, I mean, I think that Mike Vrabel has been incompetent.
The defense hasn't given up many points.
No, the Titans would be 6-0 if they could have scored 21 points in every game. I don't know how many teams you can point to for that, but the Titans have given up 20 or less in all 6 weeks so far this season, which is why I eventually, like thinking about this, put the Browns in. And the reason why I wouldn't put the Chargers in, even though they haven't played well, is Philip Rivers, even if he's aging, is still a good enough quarterback. I don't think you can really have a lot of doubt about him. And so that's why I end up with the Browns in 28. What about you, Dub? My bottom five: Browns, Falcons, Redskins, Bengals, and Dolphins. That is the list of sadness.
Yeah, I agree with the bottom four. It's just funny. The Falcons, I mean, on paper, you would say no way. If you made lines against, you know, the bottom 10 teams in the league on a neutral field, I still feel like the Falcons would still be favored against most of them.
What's crazy is the Falcons fly in the face, not an intentional reference there. The Falcons fly in the face of the argument that all that matters is your quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, great point.
Matt Ryan is really good. I mean, and Julio Jones, they just gave whatever it is, $20 million plus. I mean, the fact that the Falcons are so bad on defense with a guy like Dan Quinn, I mean, remember, we're just talking about, what was it, 2 years ago now that they were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl? Has it only been 2 years or 3 years now? I can't even keep track. Maybe 3 years since that happened. Regardless, the Falcons have just fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's incredible. But for my 28th best or slash worst team, I'm going with the Giants because they're 2-4. If you remember, one of their wins was against the Redskins. They beat them pretty well.
Yeah.
But the other one was against the Bucs, thanks to a 34-yard missed field goal. So they should honestly be 1-4. Their defense is absolutely atrocious. They got the Cardinals this week, so that'll kind of be a battle of two potential 28 teams right there. But I kind of like the Cardinals, the way their offense has been going so far. But I got the Giants at the 28 spot.
What about you, Brian Finley?
So, Clay, I'm with you on the bottom four. I'm going with the Chargers at number 28. I think the offensive line is atrocious as well. And I think that when Melvin Gordon came back in, that totally messed the synergy of the running game. And I just think Philip Rivers does not have time to throw. And if there was a list for worst fans, I think the Chargers are at the bottom because nobody wants to show up. I mean,
goodness. That's honestly a debate we could have in general is, what should the Chargers do going forward? Because it seems fair to say that the LA fan base has not rallied to their cause. Not that they've really rallied to the Rams' cause, but the Rams are the default number one in that market. And I almost feel like if I were advising the NFL right now, I know they worked so hard to finally get a team back to LA, I don't know if they could go hat in hand back to San Diego, where I still think they have a decent fan base, or whether it makes sense to look around. St. Louis, I mean, you know, a lot of people feel like the Rams screwed the city of St. Louis in the way they left. I don't know the Chargers want to go there, but I mean, it doesn't make sense to potentially relocate them to somewhere other than L.A.
Did you see the ratings, by the way?
You have to ask.
Lowest rated Sunday night football game of the year so far. Ratings in the L.A. market were lower than the national average. Ratings in the San Diego market were almost double what it did in L.A.
Yeah, look, I mean, what would you do? You guys are in L.A.
What they would have to do is the Spanos family would have to sell the team and then have a new owner and move them back to San Diego. That's the only thing that works.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, certainly. I don't know how to solve this situation.
Here's my thing. If you were going to move the Chargers to Los Angeles and have a fresh start, then you would have needed to rebrand the team like a lot of people thought Bomber should have done with the Clippers. New logo, new attitude, new history. That way, even the people who are transplants could have that as kind of like their second favorite team and maybe buy tickets and go and see that squad. Because for years, the Chargers were an AFC West opponent here, hated on, and now suddenly they're all over the airwaves on radio and TV, and it feels like they're forced on people here. And there's just no Charger fans around. You go to any sports bar, you see Rams jerseys, Cowboys, Raiders, the list goes on. Lots of transplants, as you know, not too many LA natives, but even the LA natives either grew up with Anaheim Rams or LA Raiders. So you saw half the stadium was filled with 49er fans last weekend. So, you know, the NFL, they were missing in action here for so many years. And then suddenly to have two teams, all of a sudden, you can't support that. It's going to be an uphill climb, to say the least, to get those PSL sold.
And the NFL tries to shove the Chargers down our throats here. And instead of getting the Packers-Raider game, we get the Chargers and Titans this weekend. It's terrible.
I'm sorry.
Terrible.
I'm sorry that you have to watch the Titans.
By the way, Eddie Garcia is in the house.
Oh, we've got Eddie?
Yes, we do.
All right. So Eddie has joined us from Australia. Eddie, what is your review of Australia so far?
It's really awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's awesome. Leave in the middle of football season and be down under. First of all, what time is it in Australia right now?
Right now it is around, it's almost, I think, 10:30 in the p.m.
Oh, wow. I mean, I knew they were ahead of us, but I didn't know. So you've already almost finished Wednesday then?
Yeah, it's really weird. When we got here, we lost a day. We crossed the international dateline, and then it was Monday, and then I started watching NFL games in the morning. The early games in the morning on Monday here were coming on. It was really weird.
So how tough was the 17-hour flight to from L.A. all the way down to – I think you went to Auckland initially, right? But, I mean, was it a brutal flight? How did that go?
Well, I'm very lucky. I slept for 8 hours on the plane.
That's unbelievable.
So it was. I couldn't believe it.
That's more hours than I get in my actual bed on any night.
Well, I mean, it helped that I got up early from my normal sleep the day before we left, so I only slept for like 3 hours. And so on the way to the airport, I was yawning, and I was like, oh, please let this be a good sign. So we got up in the air, I ate something, I watched a movie, and then I said, okay, let me try and get some sleep. I went to sleep. Next thing I know, I wake up, and I'm like, okay, how long was I out for? And I looked at my phone, I was like, oh my God, I just slept for 8 hours. This is amazing.
So you only had, at that point, what, like 3 or 4 hours left on the – I mean, because if you watched a movie, you ate dinner and stuff, you're probably 3 or 4 hours into the flight, and then you're out for eight. It didn't even feel that bad to you then, did it?
No. It was my flight to London, where I didn't sleep, was way tougher than this one. So I was very, very lucky. My wife fell asleep for a couple hours, but it was fantastic. I was so lucky.
All right, so most people who are listening to us right now probably would be somewhat interested in getting to visit Australia, but they're not going to get to go. What has surprised you the most since you got there?
I don't know if anything has surprised me, really. I mean, stuff like just like these incredible birds that are flying around just everywhere.
Like, yeah, I've heard about that. Like, Australia, you're in – where are you right now, Sydney?
We started last night in Sydney, yeah.
So I've heard about that. Like, Sydney is just overrun by all these huge birds, right? I mean, like, and it's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, like it's like a cockatiel, I think they're called, right? Those white birds with like the yellow plumage, but they're like, they look like something that you would see in like a pet store for sale for like $400 or something.
Yeah,
they're like flying around everywhere. It's crazy. And then we went up hiking in this place called the Blue Mountains, and just the landscape, the topography, whatever you want to call it, just the birds flying. It's just, it's very different from home, and I guess that's the whole point of coming to a place like Australia.
What's the weather like there right now?
Well, it's their spring right now, and it's been a little bit cool, but I would say low 70s, but when the sun is out and it's been out shining brightly, it feels super comfortable. So that was part of the reason why we came during football season, was because this was their springtime. We knew it wouldn't be, because their summers are pretty hot, so we wanted to come at obviously a nice time of year.
Have you seen any crocodiles or any snakes? Have you had any near disasters so far with any animals there?
Well, I'm disappointed you asked me that, because I included you in some tweets
of yes.
The wildlife preserve that we went to. There was a crocodile there it was a monster. And I told my wife, that can't be real, but why would they have it enclosed in a place if it was, it doesn't make any sense. And I stared at it for like 10 minutes and it never moved. Its mouth was wide open. And so I went to the other side. There's a glass area where you can get right next to it. And I started filming it, and I'm like, this can't be real. And then it moved, and I was like, oh, my God, this thing is real. It was probably from nose to tail about 12 feet long and maybe 2.5 feet wide. And I'm like, this is just – if I saw this – and there's a fence around it, but the fence is only like 5 feet tall. If you wanted to jump over into it, I don't know why you would want to do that, but there are a lot of stupid people in the world, and, you know, go get a selfie or something. But that thing was just – insane. There was also koalas and kangaroos everywhere, like you would expect, right? I'm sure you can see those maybe at a zoo in LA. I don't know. I've never gone to the LA Zoo or the National Zoo, but there are like 30 of them running around. It's like they're overrun with these creatures, because that's obviously what people want to come and see.
That is pretty awesome. What about snakes?
There were snakes. I sent you a picture of.
Yeah.
I said it was something like the deadliest snake, and someone, of course, on Twitter corrected me. The most venomous snake. Apparently, you know, if you get bit by one of these, you're done. And I can't remember the name, but I included it in the tweet. But they were behind glass, so I wasn't really intimidated by them. They had the spiders there as well. These two spiders that can kill you. But they were like hiding in a little whatever. You couldn't even see them. And frankly, I was fine with that. I didn't really want to see them. But yes, they had the two deadly spiders and the deadly snakes were there as well.
By the way, I'm curious on this. I don't know if you paid much attention to Australia media. By the way, happy birthday, first of all. What number is this?
It's a major one. It's half a century.
You're 50?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So this is a big part of the reason you guys went on this trip, too, as well, was because you're turning 50 years old.
Yes, exactly. I was part of it.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Happy birthday. That is a big number. All right, so... I'm curious, have they covered the NBA controversy with China at all in the media? Have you picked up on that? Obviously, it's been a big story in the United States, but I know that the NBA and in general, LeBron is a big global icon, and you're not that far from Asia over in Australia. Have they covered that controversy? Have you kind of picked up on it over there?
I mean, I haven't, to be honest. I haven't watched a ton of TV. I did watch the NFL and... you know, with my laptop, I watched a lot of college football highlights and just to keep plugged in on things. But other than the NFL, I honestly haven't watched much TV. But it is funny because when you're over here, you don't really think about it. But when you, like, go on your Twitter homepage,
yeah, right.
It throws up, like, news stories. And I'm like, why am I getting all these stories about these things I've never even heard of? So I mean, just like when we were in Europe, you know, we meet people from other parts of the country and we've gotten a few Trump questions and comments, but
yeah.
Nothing about LeBron. But I've been keeping track of that while I've been over here. That's crazy.
What about, when do you guys go to the Great Barrier Reef?
We leave tomorrow.
Nice. So that's when you're going to die, and then it'll be tough to, I mean, at least you made it to 50.
Well, I will tell you this place, it's pronounced Cairns, but it looks like Cairns.
Yes.
We're in the big city. The city's obviously a big city, so we haven't had no experience with any kind of critters or anything like that. But this is like a beach town that's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So if we are going to experience some things, it's going to be at this place. So we'll see.
There's a headline, boa constrictor snake on the loose in Sydney. Could end up eating a pet or face starving to death. That's a hell of a headline.
We have it has been a topic of conversation here, yes, because that's an animal that is not native to Australia. So someone brought it here, and there was a lot of discussion about that and kind of like talking about all the animals that have turned up here that were not originally from here. So that was one of the things that we did definitely talk about, yeah.
Outstanding stuff. Happy birthday to you, and will you touch base with us? I want to hear about the Great Barrier Reef from an Animal Thunderdome expert.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. I'll call you in a couple days.
All right. We hope you don't die there, but if you do, we're going to talk a lot about it. It'll be certainly very ironic.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jeff Schwartz joins us now. Schwartz, what's the reaction? You're an Oregon Duck. I know a lot of Oregon people are big Mariota people as well. For Mariota to get benched for the first time, probably, I don't know how long it's been since he's not been a starting quarterback. I mean, maybe, I don't know that he's ever been benched in high school. This might be the first time he's ever been benched in his career. Certainly it didn't happen at Oregon. Didn't happen in the first 5 years with the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts?
Well, it's unfortunate, right? I mean, I was rooting for him to make it in the NFL. I guess the questions become, is it his fault? Is it the Titans' fault? A combination of both, right? He's had, I think, 5 OCs in 5 years, something around there. His offensive line has not been the best. Now, Mariota does take a lot of blame in that process because he holds the ball forever. But, you know, who is it? Is it Mariota? Is it the offensive line? Is it everyone else? So I'm excited to see him go somewhere else, I assume, next year. Maybe not as a starter, but maybe as a backup and kind of work his way back in. I think.
What
kind
of market
successful.
Do you think there will be for Marcus Mariota? Let's assume that this is it for him with the Titans. He's an unrestricted free agent. Where would he go? How much interest would there be in him?
Well, that's obviously, you know, the question, I think. And I think it depends on how people feel about the quarterbacks in the draft, right? There's mixed reviews on Justin Herbert from Oregon, on Eason from Washington. Eason can go back. You know, I think that you got like Joe Burrow's climbing the draft boards right now. So does that put Jake Fromm down a little bit? I know Tua is going to be a high draft pick, I think, no matter what. So if the Titans are drafting, let's say, in the middle of the first round, I guess they're a bad example, but you know, a middle-of-the-road team is drafting in the middle of the first round, would they rather sign Marcus Mariota for a year or two, or are they going to go ahead and try to draft you know, Justin Herbert or Jordan Love from Utah State who might be available in the middle of the first round? You know, guys like that. So that's the big question. I don't think there's a lot of need around the NFL this offseason for quarterbacks. I mean, the Bengals are probably going to want one. The Dolphins are probably going to want one. And then the Titans and the Bucks, well, they're not going to probably sign each other's quarterback. So there's just not a lot of
that would be really funny if they just flipped.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. The old roommate switch. Like, both of them are like, you know what? Who knows? I also just don't know what their value is, right? Because Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are both making whatever it is, $20 million plus now in year 5. I think that you may know this better than me, but I think that that right now Teddy Bridgewater and Ryan Tannehill are the highest paid backups in the league, and they're both around $7.5-8 million-ish. So that's a big drop off. So what would the market be in terms of what people would pay for either of those guys? The backup quarterback market, let's say at the high end, is $8 million. That's a big drop from what these guys are making now. I almost wonder on some level. Whether if you're the Titans, do you just try and keep Tannehill and Marcus Mariota, and or do you decide to go back into the draft? I mean, you're right, because in the draft this year for quarterbacks, you could have Jake Fromm, Jacob Eason, Justin Herbert. You could have certainly Tua. All of those guys right off the top, Joe Burrow, 5 guys right there that wouldn't stun me. You mentioned Love at Utah State. There's always a couple of guys that even if you're a college football fan, you're not that familiar with who are in the mix as well. And how many teams are actually interested in drafting a guy in the first round? It may not be that many.
You know, I think you're looking – I think a team in my backyard, the Panthers, would be interesting for Mariota, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if Cam Newton is going to be their long-term answer just because of his injuries, right? And they don't really owe him any money next year. And Kyle Allen's done a good job. But look, Kyle Allen is an undrafted kid. I mean, the chances that he is a franchise quarterback aren't probably very high. And so let's say Cam gets a job back next week, ends up getting hurt again. and Kyle Allen takes over. He's not as good. The Panthers are in a market for a quarterback, and they're going to be good enough, in my opinion, to draft, you know, in the 20s. So they're a team that I could definitely see, you know, hey Marcus, we'll give you $10 million a year. Come be our quarterback. Our offensive line is better. Our scheme is much better. You know, you have McCaffrey, you have Samuel. Greg Olsen's probably gone, but you have other weapons. Our defense is really good. Come here. We'll pay you $10 million a year. You could be our backup. You can not our backup. You can start for us, but, you know, with the intention, we're going to draft a guy at some point and develop him too. So I think that Panthers could be a good option if they decide to move off from Cam, which is still a question mark. I don't know if they're going to do it, but we'll see how Cam's health
is. What would you do there if you are the Panthers and they came to you? Let's pretend that you're the GM or you're the owner. You live in Charlotte. You're familiar with the Panthers. Cam Newton said, I'm not going to come back till I'm 100%. They start off 0-2. They go to Kyle Allen, win four in a row. They're on their bye week now. Word is Cam may be healthy to come back. The trade deadline is October 29th. Do you trade him? Do you give him his job back and put Kyle Allen back on the bench, even though Cam had lost eight in a row? And you're going on the road, I believe, against the San Francisco 49ers, which is a really difficult team, and there would immediately be a lot of outrage if Cam came back and they lost the first game back with him. What do you do in that situation?
Well, he's not being traded. I mean, there's no one who's going to trade for Cam, in my opinion. I guess the question becomes, you know, is he
I don't know
healthy?
That that's true. I mean, so your position is you just let him go at the end of the year.
Yes. You don't owe him any money. Like, there's no
– Right, but you don't think there's a single team out there that would give a fourth-round pick to Cam for Cam Newton right now? I don't know.
But here's the thing about Cam is that – the Panthers have done a great job over their, you know, over the life of having Cam Newton, of tailoring the offense toward him. Now, last year they really did, and he played very well under Norv Turner in kind of this new offense. But, I mean, you have to think about who is going – so is it the – are the Bengals trading for him for next season? Like, you're – whoever trades for him is looking for him for next season, not
correct,
as a rental for this year. So.
Yeah, I agree. So you would have – the question is there a market for Cam Newton as a starting quarterback in the NFL? And if so – why not get something for him if you're the Carolina Panthers right now before the trade deadline, as opposed to letting him walk on completely on his own?
Because if he's healthy, he's better than Kyle Allen. Like, that's why. And so that's the thing, is that if you put him in the game and he's actually healthy, he's better than Kyle Allen. And if he's not healthy, then he's not going to play. So that's kind of where you're at with him. Like, I don't think that they feel like they need to trade him now, because if he's healthy, they can win a playoff game, many playoff games, with the roster they have right now.
Right, but that would suggest that you don't trade him and that he's the guy going forward in the years ahead, too.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Clay Travis.
Can't support democracy in China? What a complete and total coward. Why do you say that?
Because it's 100% accurate. The NBA has tried to brand itself as a woke league. They banned the term owner because they determined it was racially insensitive.
First tonight, Clay Travis of Fox Sports Radio is the author of the book Republicans Buy Sneakers Too.
Apparently so do Chinese communists. Clay Travis joins us. Clay, thanks so much for coming on.
LeBron James is one of the biggest hypocrites in all of sports. You hit on it. Look, if he had decided to stay out of politics, if the NBA had decided to stay out of politics,
Clay Travis is our guest on the Petros and Money Show. Outkick the World, Clay Travis is involved in, and you can hear him every morning right here on AM 570 LA Sports from 3 a.m. to 6. A lot of you people start your morning with Clay.
If Daryl Morey doesn't send out his tweet, is this something that ever emerges as a major issue in the country and certainly for the NBA?
I really have been around the world. Danny G putting all that together. Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Never know where I'm going to show up. I got to say, I always work a lot, but the last 10 days or so have been such a crazy blur because of this NBA China story that's happening in the middle of the NFL. People out there kind of understand it, I think, in general, that our job is very seasonal. And what I mean is, the NFL and college football are so massive in the world of sports that the audience all comes rolling in. And I don't really know that people understand that in the world of sports, how seasonal our business is. But from about Labor Day until the Super Bowl is over, we go at a six-month sprint, right? I mean, we go hard for 6 months because football dominates. And then you get a little bit of a break, right, which is usually when I kind of get away. That President's Day week, I usually take off, because at that point you can kind of take a breath and then you got a little bit of a break before the March Madness starts and the NBA playoffs start, and then the summer's dead, right? Which is why I'd like to, a lot of times, I think, what is it, Mike Francesa, who's just like an old dude who's been doing New York sports talk radio forever, he just takes like 6 weeks off in the summer. He's like, screw it. You know, there's nothing going on. I'm just going to disappear. When I become an old dude, if I'm still doing radio, I'm just taking the summer off because nobody pays attention. Like, everybody else is on vacation too. But that's what kind of is going on. And then you throw into the mix this NBA China story, which I think is one of the biggest stories that's ever existed in the world of sports and politics and media and business and everything else kind of rolled in there together. And barely I've had time to breathe in the last 10 days. So you just pulled a lot of those clips in addition to the 3 hours a day of radio and the hour a day of television. I've been going on everybody else's radio shows and television shows.
You've been so busy. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you haven't had the chance yet to watch El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
No, I haven't seen El Camino. I haven't caught up on Succession, which is, I think, the best show on television right now, at least for my money, the HBO show about sort of a family media business. It's kind of loosely modeled, I would say, on the Fox family surrounding Rupert Murdoch and everything that's happened with him. But it's a fabulous television show on HBO. But no, I haven't caught up on any of that stuff. I haven't seen anything other than sports in like 10 days.
Now, I know you're not nervous at all on radio. What about when you're a TV guest on some of those big news programs? Do you ever feel nerves right before you go on?
A little. Well, only because, for instance, I was on Tucker Carlson last night, and 3 million plus people watched that show. So, I mean, we have, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people who listen to this show every morning across the country. I don't even know the total number, honestly, in the millions every month, right? So I'm used to talking to a big audience, and obviously we have the daily Lock It In show where I'm on for an hour. So I know I'm good at television. It's not like I'm nervous about how I'm going to do. But there is, when you know you're only on for 4 or 5 minutes as a guest, it's a lot more intense than when you know, for instance, on Lock It In this afternoon, I know I've got a full hour. So I don't have to come out of the gate like a, you know, like a boxer who's only going to fight one round, whereas I do on television. So that kind of ratchets up the intensity in a way it doesn't if you're on for the full hour. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You did good on Tucker, but their production crew kind of screwed you at the very end. It doesn't happen on our show a lot, but you'll hear radio programs where a guest is on, and at the very end, the host is thanking them, and as they're saying, thank you, too, or whatever, they get cut off.
Yeah.
At the very end, he thanked you for coming on, and you started to talk, and they faded you away.
Yeah.
And so they kind of left you mumbling at the very end.
Yeah, but that was not ideal. But the problem is, in general, and some people understand this about television, there's a delay if you're not in studio. So when you watch, if you wonder, like, the question is asked, and then sometimes you're like, oh, that person is pausing to think about their answer. A lot of times that's not the case at all. It's just the lag on the way the satellite's set up. So I don't know. I think it's a good sign. I did Laura Ingraham's show on Friday. I did Tucker Carlson's show on Monday. So people say, well, why do you go on? Like, I'll go on any national news network, right? If MSNBC called me and they said, hey, will you come on and talk about LeBron in China? I would go. If CNN called me, I haven't been on since I said I love the First Amendment and boobs. I think I'm banned for life from CNN. But if CNN called me, I would go on. To me, that's great advertising for the radio program and for OutKick in general. So there's no way to turn down that opportunity. So, and again, I'm used to doing television now because I do 5 hours of television a week on FS1. But still, it's good to hit those audiences just because they're so massive and they may not know that I exist, which is how you grow your audience in general. There's probably people listening right now who would have never known I existed but for CNN hits or Fox News hits, which I think is good advertising. But that's what I've been busy doing in general. I haven't asked you guys yet. Well, let me get the update from Brian Finley, and then we'll debate this when we come back, because I do think the question of whether or not the Jags or the Rams won the Jalen Ramsey deal is an intriguing one. And I'll also hit top five, bottom five in the NFL. Again, when we come back, final segment, if you're just waking up and you haven't heard that yet.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.